All right, dog lovers, buckle up. Today's deep dive tackles a topic that might make you grab your pup a little closer: dog aggression. Specifically, when those furry friends get tense around other canines.
It's a really common concern, and understandably so. But you know what? With the right knowledge, it's often way more manageable than people think.
Exactly. And that's what we're here for. We've got a stack of videos lined up, expert advice from trainers, vet insights, even some real-world training sessions caught on camera.
Observing those real-life scenarios can be incredibly illuminating.
Absolutely. So our mission today is to decode all of this and give you some seriously practical takeaways. Think of it like this. We want you leaving this deep dive feeling like you've got a secret decoder ring for your dog's behavior.
I love that analogy. It's about understanding their language and motivations. And these sources offer some fantastic insights into doing just that.
Right. And one thing that jumped out at me watching these training cases is how easy it is to misinterpret what looks like aggression.
Oh, absolutely. Take the case of Casper from It's Me or the Dog. Big, tough-looking dog. Seemed really reactive to other dogs.
Yeah, he initially gave off some serious back-off vibes.
Exactly. But as Victoria Stillwell, the trainer, starts working with him, it becomes so clear that Casper isn't being aggressive. He's terrified.
Which really makes you think about all those times we might be misreading our own dogs, right?
Absolutely.
Mm.
See, dogs communicate primarily through body language,
mm-hmm.
postures, vocalizations. It's their way of expressing their needs and emotions.
It's like their version of English, but we're only just learning the vocabulary.
Precisely. So while we might see snarling, barking, lunging, and interpret it as aggression, it can actually be a fear response.
So it's less I'm going to get you and more I'm freaking out here.
Exactly. Creating distance is their way of feeling safe. And that understanding, that shift in perspective, is so crucial because it changes how we approach the situation entirely.
It's like instead of mirroring their panic, we can be that calm, reassuring presence they need. Which reminds me of something the vet in Dog Aggression Towards Other Dogs mentioned. He was talking about how even those playful puppy nips, if not addressed through proper socialization, can escalate as they get older.
Right. Because even though it might seem cute or harmless when they're little, that puppy nip can be rooted in fear or insecurity. They're figuring out their place in the world, testing boundaries.
And I guess without those early positive social interactions, those insecurities can fester and manifest as aggression later on.
Exactly. Think about it this way. Every interaction, every experience your dog has, especially in puppyhood, shapes their understanding of the world and how to navigate it.
So takeaway number one for all you dog owners out there, those seemingly small behaviors, the ones you might be tempted to brush off, they matter. And that aggression might just be your dog's way of saying, hey, I'm not feeling so confident here.
It's about becoming a detective in your dog's emotional world.
I like that. And speaking of detective work, some of the training techniques these experts use are pretty insightful. I even learned a thing or two.
Oh, I'm sure. There's always something new to discover in the world of dog training. What caught your eye?
Well, this technique called the calm freeze from How to Stop Dog Aggressive Behavior completely blew my mind. It seems so counterintuitive.
Okay, I have to hear this. Refresh my memory on how it works.
So picture this. Your dog starts reacting to another dog, maybe barking or lunging. Instead of engaging, you do the opposite. Turn your back on them, completely disengage. You might even step in front of them, blocking their view of the other dog.
That does sound counterintuitive. It's almost like we're wired to confront a problem head on, right?
Right. But here's where it gets interesting. Dogs don't interpret turning your back as weakness.
Ah, I see where you're going with this. It's about tapping into their innate understanding of social cues.
Exactly. By turning away, you're communicating that you're not threatened, which can help de-escalate the situation. And by blocking their vision, you're temporarily removing that trigger, giving them a chance to chill out.
It's fascinating how such a simple shift in our own behavior can have such a profound impact on their emotional state.
And you know what else is interesting? This whole idea of calm, assertive energy seems to be a recurring theme.
Oh, absolutely. It's like the underlying principle that connects so many effective training techniques.
Right, like Nigel Reed in How to Stop Your Dog Barking. He emphasizes calm leadership over any kind of forceful approach.
Yeah, and for good reason.
Yeah.
Because constantly correcting a dog who's already feeling anxious can actually make things worse.
It's like saying, you're right to be scared, I'm scared too.
Sure.
Not exactly the message we want to be sending.
Precisely. But by projecting that calm confidence, you're essentially saying, hey, I got this, you can relax.
You know, it's funny, when we talk about dog aggression, it's easy to get caught up in all the what-ifs and worst-case scenarios.
It's true. Our minds can go to some pretty intense places, especially when we care so much about our furry companions.
Exactly. But what I love about these sources, these trainers, is that they're not just telling us what to do. They're showing us how to build that incredible bond based on trust and understanding.
Absolutely. It's about working with your dog, not against them. Which brings us to a concept that I think is so central to everything we've been discussing. Calm leadership.
Yes. Calm leadership. It sounds so simple, yet it can be surprisingly profound in practice, right? But before we dive deeper into that, I have to tell you about this one story that really stuck with me.
Oh, I'm all ears. I love a good dog story.
Okay, so remember, Jazz, that reactive German Shepherd from Nigel Reed's video, How to Stop Your Dog Barking?
How could I forget? Her transformation was truly remarkable.
It really was. At the beginning of the video, she's a ball of nerves, barking and lunging at everything. But by the end, she's calmly walking past other dogs, even playing off leash.
It really highlights the power of consistency and a deep understanding of dog psychology.
Exactly. It wasn't about forcing her to change, but about creating an environment where she felt safe enough to let go of that reactivity.
And that sense of security, that trust in their human, is such a game changer for dogs, especially those who might be prone to anxiety or aggression.
Which brings us back to that idea of calm leadership, right? It's like you said earlier, it's about being the CEO of calm in their world.
Exactly. Think of it this way. Dogs are pack animals, hardwired to look to a leader for guidance and reassurance.
So when we're running around like chickens with their heads cut off, it's no wonder they mirror that energy.
Precisely. But when we embody that calm, assertive energy, it's like we're sending a constant message. I got this. You can relax.
And that message, that unwavering sense of security we project, can literally change their brain chemistry.
It's true. When a dog feels safe and secure, their stress hormones decrease and their feel-good hormones increase.
Which makes them more likely to make good decisions, even in challenging situations.
Exactly. It's like we're giving them the tools they need to navigate the world with confidence and composure.
So how do we actually put this calm leadership into practice? I mean, it's one thing to say be calm, but real life with dogs can be, well, a little messy sometimes.
You're absolutely right. It's not always easy, but it starts with awareness. Pay attention to your own energy. How do you feel when you're out for a walk with your dog? Are you tense, worried, distracted?
It's like we're walking billboards for our emotions, and our dogs are constantly reading those signs.
Precisely. So the first step is to become aware of those internal cues. What triggers your own anxiety?
Once we know our triggers, we can start developing strategies to manage them.
Right, exactly. Maybe it's practicing some deep breathing exercises before you leave the house. Maybe it's visualizing a successful walk where your dog is calm and responsive.
Or maybe it's as simple as choosing a walking route that's less likely to be stressful, like opting for a quiet park over a busy street.
Exactly. It's about setting yourself and your dog up for success. And remember, it's a practice. None of us are perfect, and there will be times when we get triggered.
The key is to be kind to ourselves, learn from those moments, and keep practicing.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Now, speaking of practice, I'm curious about those subtle stress signals we talked about earlier. You know, those little signs that our dogs might be feeling overwhelmed or anxious.
Oh, you mean like the canine equivalent of nail biting or fidgeting?
Precisely. These subtle cues are like whispers compared to the shouts of a full-blown meltdown.
And if we can learn to listen to those whispers, we can often prevent those meltdowns from happening in the first place.
Exactly. It's all about early intervention. But the challenge is that these signals are often so subtle, so easily missed, especially if we don't know what to look for.
Which is where that source, dog aggression towards other dogs, offered some really helpful advice.
Absolutely. I found myself nodding along with so much of what that vet had to say, especially when he talked about how important it is to observe our dogs in a variety of situations.
Right. Not just when they're around other dogs, but also when they're at home, on walks, interacting with new people.
Exactly. It's about creating a baseline, understanding what their body language looks like when they're relaxed and comfortable,
so that we can then start to notice those subtle shifts that might indicate stress or anxiety.
Precisely. Are their ears a little more pinned back than usual? Are they licking their lips more frequently? Are they holding their tail differently? Are they yawning when they don't seem tired?
Those subtle cues are like puzzle pieces. And the more pieces we can gather, the clearer the picture of our dog's emotional state becomes.
Exactly. It's like becoming fluent in their language.
And just like learning any new language, it takes time, patience, and a willingness to make mistakes along the way.
Absolutely. But the rewards are immeasurable.
Because when we can understand our dog's subtle cues, we can anticipate their needs, respond appropriately, and create a deeper, more meaningful bond than we ever thought possible.
And that bond, that sense of mutual trust and understanding, is what allows dogs to truly thrive.
Beautifully said. And on that note, I think it's time for a quick pause. But don't wander too far, listeners. We've got one final segment to go in our deep dive into dog aggression. And we're back for this last part of our deep dive into dog aggression. You know, after spending all this time with this topic, I have to say, I'm feeling hopeful.
I'm right there with you. What really struck me from all these sources is that it's not about slapping a label on dogs, aggressive, reactive, and calling it a day.
It's so easy to fall into that trap, right? Like it's some kind of permanent state. But what we've been hearing is it's often far more complex and nuanced than that.
Exactly. These sources remind us that with understanding, patience, and a whole lot of love, we can help our dogs feel safer and more confident in the world.
And isn't that what it's all about? Giving our furry companions the tools they need to thrive. And you know, it strikes me that we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, from decoding those subtle canine stress signals to mastering the art of calm leadership.
It's like we've assembled a toolkit for building a stronger, more harmonious relationship with our dogs.
I like that. But if I had to pick one tool that stands out, the one that feels most essential, it's the power of observation.
Absolutely. That personalized awareness of your dog, their individual quirks, their triggers, their unique ways of communicating, that's where the real magic happens.
It's like you're not just observing, you're learning to truly see your dog. And in doing so, you unlock this whole new level of understanding and connection.
Exactly. It's about moving beyond the generic and into the deeply personal. Tuning into those subtle shifts in their body language, their energy, even their breathing.
Because those subtle cues are telling a story. And the more fluent we become in their language, the better we can advocate for their well-being.
And create positive experiences for them, even in those challenging situations that might have once triggered fear or anxiety.
Right. Like imagine being able to anticipate your dog's needs before they escalate into something bigger. It's like you're one step ahead, offering support and reassurance before they even have to ask for it.
It's such a powerful shift, both for the dog and the human. It transforms the relationship from one of reaction to one of anticipation and understanding.
And isn't that the kind of partnership we all dream of having with our dogs? One that's based on mutual trust, respect, and a deep knowing of one another.
Absolutely. And those seemingly small moments of observation, those tiny shifts in awareness, they're the building blocks of that extraordinary bond.
So well said. And on that note, I think it's time to unleash our final thought, the one we hope will echo in the minds of all our listeners long after this episode ends.
I'm ready when you are.
All right, folks, here it is. The next time you're out in the world with your furry best friend, walking, playing, even just hanging out at home, really see them. Pay attention to the subtle cues they're giving you.
What are they trying to communicate? What are they feeling in that moment? How can you be their rock, their source of safety and comfort?
Because within those seemingly ordinary interactions lies the potential for extraordinary connection. And ultimately, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Building a bond with our dogs that enriches both their lives and ours. So go forth, observe, connect, and remember with a little understanding and a whole lot of love. We can create a world where both dogs and their humans can thrive